Good hey, everyone. Moo. I'm your host cow Henry, joined as always by my co-host, the flexible Rudy. On today's episode, we once again set sail on the high seas, but not for long as things suddenly go awry. Please enjoy this episode.
Welcome back to the one and only Vagabond Dilemma.
Okay. I like it.
You like it?
I like it, yeah.
We should have sampled this like 40 episodes ago, but...
Yeah, this is like one of those things that you have to do at the start of when you make a podcast, and instead we're at episode 38, now coming up with a theme song as one of the intros. Great stuff.
Right, no, I think today we're going to be very, I'm going to be very upbeat, and I'm going to try and keep this, you know, very, very, very happy notes, because...
Don't be so mean, you weirdo. L.
Cut this all out. I am an angel, a fluffy, puffy angel, and...
You want me to cut this out as well?
No.
I think for your sake I should, to be honest, but...
No, you will bleep some parts, but you won't cut anything out.
Okay.
Because people like duality. Actually, that's not true, but...
Well, talk about duality. You just had it right there. Great stuff, Rudy. You're really getting in there today. So?
So, how is you?
How is you?
I am good. I mean, I recently went to semi-recently. I guess when this episode comes out, it's not that semi-recently. But I went to my first jazz party with somebody I know.
Yeah. How was that?
I must be honest, it was like, okay, so first of all, I had almost no experience with jazz, right? In a sense of, I know what it is, I've seen Princess and the Frog cartoon from Disney, but that's about my extent of what I know of jazz, and, when I arrived at the evening, yeah, I was supposed to dress up. First of all, here's the Rudy one and only that you all know and love. We were supposed to dress up as 20s, 40s vibe, right? However... I, in my head, thought, well, how can I stand out if everybody has to say, you know, I have to do the same things, and I don't have the money to buy, like, very, you know, good, posh clothes and stand out? So, I deducted. Everybody would go out and dress like, you know, good gentlemen, fancy ladies, you know, type of posh people back in the 20s. So, I'm gonna go as fucking mafia. So that's what I did. I stood out. A bit. And then I went to the jazz party, and the first band was kind of, as my friend put it, a bit of a cafeteria vibe, which is nice. It was a nice vibe.
I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
I would say that's
and
a big part of jazz.
And then the second one, the boys came out, and they started to blow. Oh my god, they started blowing the hell out of those trombones, trumpets, and all those bones, what I can say. And... That, honestly, the band itself was badass, in a sense of what the music they can make is so cool, but, you got out of the room, of that small room where we didn't have earmuffs or anything, and you're basically deaf. You're like deaf. And here's the twist, that friend that I went with to the party was not an only Henry!
Wow! Yes, what I've been doing is, I went to a jazz party recently, and I had to dress up, right, in like a 20s, 40s vibe.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I went to the party, and then there was this weirdo outside, and he said, give me all your money, so I did that, and then we went inside, and then it was just like, wow, this is like such a cafeteria vibe, but that's nice, it's
weren't
nice.
Weren't you the one who kept the hold of my bank account?
Yeah, I did, actually. I stole, we really inverted the roles there. No, I mean, I had a good time, it was pretty fun. Yeah, I don't know. It was pretty fun. The DJ at the end was, like, really weird. I don't know.
But I feel like the DJ was only weird for the first 10 minutes, and then it actually started becoming somewhat good.
Yeah, maybe he then realized, hey, as the DJ, the point of the party, like, I'm not supposed to ruin the vibe as the DJ. That's crazy.
Yeah, because what he was doing, it was every song he puts on, every, like, 5 seconds, a remix that, wow, you know?
Yeah, but
it's
also,
like... you can't dance to that.
Yeah, like, when... my least favorite part is when he was, like... trying to, like, hold the beat, if you know what I mean, like, wait for the drop.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was, like, that long, and it's just, like, I, you know, do you need me to go, like, put on some coffee before you'll finish this, or what?
Yeah. It was like that, the thing where it slows down the beat and then like do the drop. But the slowing down of the beat happens for a minute straight.
Yeah.
You so, just sit there like, okay.
That was kind of, and I also don't like where they made us sit on the floor during the trombones.
Like, oh, that was a bit too long, yeah, because of the nice pants, it honestly was ripping my ass cheeks apart.
Yeah, but other than that, it was all fun, and happy to have been there. And there was a fun B story plot to the whole thing that I don't think we should get into.
Me and Henry were trying to be connoisseurs, in a sense that we were trying to, how would you say this, hook a guy up, right?
We were cupids of ourselves that night.
Yes, and we thought that we succeeded, so we left the scene in quite, you know, high on victory. And then the next day, our third friend, whose name we're not going to drop here, just texts us and is like, well, he texted me, but he was like, I lost her, basically, the gist of it was. And I was like, what the fuck? We literally shoved you in her face, and then you were vibing, and we were like, okay, so we can leave now. And then you lost her.
Well, sometimes it do be like that, huh?
But it was a funny thing to talk about, so...
It was. All around, good party.
Yeah.
And speaking of good parties, welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma. A show where we talk about explorers. We discuss their history, their information, and then we make up... So, Jesus.
Hiccup. We make up Jesus.
We make up Jesus, truly. This is the Christian episode. Now, we make up solutions to, well, how they got
lost.
Lost. Thank you. I was kind of blanking on that last word.
That, by the way, was a very, that might have been our smoothest intro so far.
I mean, that was like, honestly, it was a transition from like, that was very forced in a way, but we'll take it, you know.
But you did it smoothly, Keith.
Well, Rudy... What are we chatting about? What are we blabbing about today?
Well, today I once again the responsibility, the weight of the crown has fallen onto me, and I looked a bit through my archives, my track record so far, and I've been doing good, and I've been doing, you know, some funny special episodes and whatnot, but there's one thing that I had kind of missed out on when I did the special things that I think is very interesting, And there's also one thing that I was supposed to deliver every episode, but then I forgot about it. So I'm going to make good on both of my track records today by getting back on track, so to speak. So, first of all, the thing that I find cool and I didn't talk about somehow yet is we talk a lot about sailing in this podcast of ours, Henry, right?
Yeah, we do.
And there's, well, sailing, voyaging, vagabonding, this all goes in one shoe. But there's one thing that always sailors of the past have talked about, and yet I somehow missed out on it, and I feel like it's such a niche of mine that I would have loved to put in an episode, but I guess I had other pre-recorded things to do, which is ghost stories. It's ghost stories, Henry. Ghost ships. It's all there. The Flying Dutchman, for example, right? Which is not the topic of today's episode, because I looked it up. And I'm gonna be real. Everybody knows of the Flying Dutchman. Do you know what the legend is about it?
He like jumped, and it was like, whoa. He lifted from the floor. That must mean he's flying.
Exactly. Now, in reality, the legend is actually a bit. I thought there's gonna be a more epic tale to it, and then there wasn't. So I was like, well, goddamn. Flying Dutchman. For those who want to look up the I'm gonna concisely put this. If you want to know the original story of Flying Dutchman, go Wikipedia the shit out of it, use ChatGPT. The gist of it is, stubborn man went around in rough sea, died, and became, the analogy of the story, or the metaphor it is, it's disputed about, but the idea is that it either helps sailors to be brave, that ship, like the ghost ship that they see when their seas get rough, or it was the lesson to not trick the sea. You know, be safe, because the nature will always win, and when you see the ghost ship, you're in big trouble. There's disputing on how to talk about this, but yeah, that's the end of the story.
I like this idea of, like, oh, when you see the ghost ship, it'll, like, give you courage, because it's like, holy fuck, it's here, we gotta get the fuck out of here right now.
Yeah, but I was not going to give up. So today, I'm going to talk about another semi-ghost ship. A ship that transcended the legends and became a ghost ship, but reality is based on an actual ship that existed, right? But the other promise that I was going to keep up, and I didn't in the past episode, which I'm so sorry about, I should have, is I used to do this bit where I talk about small things that happen in the region of time, or rather the period of time, which I'm going to talk about, and then I forgot about those. And then for the past like 3 to 4 episodes, I haven't done shit about it. So today, rest assured, I have fun facts, and we're going to start with 1850. And we're going to walk our way towards the year that we are interested in. Right?
Okay.
Okay, and feel free to comment, because I tried to find some very interesting facts, right? Or something, I mean, if it was something that you can't walk around, it was just like, yeah, that thing everybody knows happened that year, I just put it. It's not a lot, but. So, 1850, Thomas Cook, one of the world's first travel agencies, is found, right? So the vagabonding for commercial use is available now. It also, coincidentally, is the year when rabbits were first introduced to Australia and later became pests.
Yes, the Australian lore of insert X animal and they are now a hazard to nature.
Exactly. And it also is the first time, and this is cheers to that, the first time beer was sold in glass bottles, because before that you had to come to the bar with your own cup or even a bucket.
A bucket of beer?
Yes.
Talk about big plans for an evening.
Funny you should mention big things, because 1851, Big Ben in London is built.
Oh, yeah, I mean, okay, makes sense, I guess.
It really knocks your trousers off, huh?
It really does.
And it's funny that I mentioned trousers, because in 1853, Levi Strauss begins making trousers for California gold miners.
That was Levi's, you said?
Yeah.
Interesting. They're like, well, they're jeans, for lack of a better term.
Yep. By the way, funny story. There is a small dispute about this, about who patented or found out about, like, jeans in general as a thing. Everybody in the world kind of, like, I guess it's just small nation stuff, but, everybody in the world gets taught that it's Levi Strauss, right?
Like, really?
If you would ask a Latvian who has been taught history in high school from a specific book, apparently, Levi, at the time, had a friend who predominantly came from, I think he had, like, Latvian ancestry. He was born in Latvia or some shit like that at the time. And they together, apparently, in the story, started making this. So, in that, honestly, not kidding, in my history book, it is written that the actual inventor of jeans or whatever is a Latvian guy. And even when I was seventh grade or something, reading this, I was like, yeah, sure, it was.
Fuck, clinging on to the tiniest piece of hope they have.
Really shoots down your ego right there. And talking about shooting, in 1854, Horace Smith and Daniel Wesson patents a firearm. Damn. I don't exactly know what firearm it was, but...
I mean, we're pretty sure... I'm pretty sure guns already existed at that point, so it has to be like a specific type innovation.
Yeah, it's probably
right?
The first kind of like what we would today think of a pistol, like a gun, that kind of, right? Probably something
like
close
semi-auto
to that.
Is what you
yeah
mean,
yeah or? Yeah.
I feel like it kind of has to be, because that wasn't that far off at that point.
Well, that would have been a nice Christmas gift, eh, for some American.
What, just the first semi-automatic pistol?
Yeah. Funny, I should mention Christmas, though, because in 1857...
Oh, shut up, you.
The words and music for Jingle Bells, registered by Olivia Ditson and co, under the title One Horse Open Sleigh. Now, here's a funny thing that also happened that year, which I found super funny, so I put it in. Alicia Grave Otis dramatically demonstrates his passenger safety elevator at the Crystal Palace exposition in New York by doing what, Henry?
By getting into the elevator? And then dying?
No, that would have been a story. No, you know what he did? Elevator was supposed to ascend 300 foot, which is about 90 meter tower. And it started ascending. And Otis cut the cables.
Oh, for the safety mechanism.
Just shut up.
Or what was the elevator was free falling. The safety mechanism demonstrated that it was, you know, it didn't fall too much and didn't kill the people. The safety system worked.
There was people inside?
Yep.
Holy shit, what a psycho.
Honestly. At least that's what I got. I don't know, but America was a pretty wild place. In the sources, it just says he cut the cables for the elevator that was ascending the tower. So right. I assume there were people inside, but...
Here, you guys are gonna get to experience this shit firsthand.
Honestly, that counts for, I don't know. That's some violation of rights. Which yeah. In 1860, U.S. Civil War! You know.
Well, sheesh.
Sheesh!
Well, people have to, like, spend their time with something, right?
Yeah. But, I mean... The world keeps going on, wars, U.S. civil wars and whatnot, but there's one place that's close to my heart that always seems to be with a sweet life. Living la dolce vita, huh? Because in 1861, Kingdom of Italy is declared. And John Ericsson built an ironclad steamboat. First one
that's ever. The more important one. That's the more important one.
Honestly, I've been such a good boy. I haven't talked about my Italianos for a while.
That's so not true, but...
It's so true.
That's so not true. Anyway, go on.
And although this is the year, 1861, which we are interested in as of now because this is where our story takes hold, I did try to, because we're based in Month of Pride, I wanted to take this in and say, in 1865, U.S., after the end of Civil War, abolishes slavery as part of the 13th Amendment. Cheers to the U.S. Last W take they took in the last century.
And you're saying that's gay, or what's the connection?
I'm just happy that they abolished it, you know? I mean, yes, actually, yeah, that is gay, because gay also means happy, doesn't it?
True!
Right. So, without further ado, because there's some things we have to get through, I'm gonna go into the episode. We're gonna be talking, as I already mentioned, about a ship. A real ship that transcended time, and
right,
was...
ghost story.
Yeah, exactly. And so... Built in 1861 in Canada, originally named Amazon, the ship was 103-foot-long wooden-hulled and was primarily used for cargo transportation, for example, coal, lumber, and iron. You're taking notes already, I see. Good. Over
yes,
the
sir.
Year, it changed several owners and took part of various trade routes, including between the US and Europe. So, you know, Atlantic Ocean. In 1868, the ship was sold to a new owner, Captain Benjamin Briggs, who renamed it, can you tell me?
The Brickyard.
Oh my god. No, it is a very famous ghost ship-ish.
The SS Royal.
Oh, that's a good one too. I like that guess. You know what? If I would be giving points, I would give you a point because that is a good guess by itself, but it is not that.
All right, go ahead.
Renamed it Mary Celeste after his daughter. You heard of the ship?
I think I might have. It rings a bell, but I'm not familiar with the story, let's put it that way.
Briggs was an experienced captain as he had sailed across sea multiple times already. So with a crew of 8 men, this seemed to be just another checkmark in his achievement list. And so it was. Under his command, the Mary Celeste made several successful voyages, including a trip from New York to Genoa, Italy. And you know what it delivered? Some base stuff. You can guess this. Cheers to that, is what I'm saying.
Wine?
No.
Beer?
General.
Pizza? Coal?
No.
Food?
The first two guesses more general.
Alcohol?
Yes, it delivered loads of alcohol. I must say, not in the way that I made you think. It's more of a... how is it called? There's a term for it. Is the
it's
alcohol
not for
that's
drinking.
In, yeah, it's the one that's used for perfume making and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean,
the
figure.
One that's
I figure.
Poisonous if you let it evaporate. Sheesh. Okay.
Sheesh.
So everything was going rather well. The captain is rather seasoned, he has a family, a loving daughter, and he's actually, you know, he has friends in the captain community, so he's quite a nice lad. There's nothing bad to say about this guy.
Hmm.
However, on November 1872, the ship started another, the last of its journeys. The ship was carrying denatured, that was what I was trying to look for, denatured alcohol from New York to Genoa, right?
Okay.
Or so was the plan. A route that they have done before. On December 4th, same year, another ship, namely De Gratia, sailing from New York to Gibraltar, noticed Mary Celeste on the horizon, right? The captain was the captains of both ships were friends, and De Gratia was alarmed because they noticed that the Mary Celeste is kind of sailing about erratically, not as the ship's supposed to sail. So everybody's on alarm, and because they're friends, they're like, "We're gonna hang this out." For the Geo fans in the chat, there are two locations of interest in this story. First of which is where De Gratia found Mary Celeste drifting aimlessly. That would be around 600 miles, which is in kilometers, 970 kilometers east of the Azores, which are a group of islands in the mid-Atlantic. So if you find those Atlantic islands, about roughly 1,000 kilometers east from that is where they found Mary Celeste. The captain of De Gratia, David Morehouse, ordered the board to ship after realizing that something must have gone wrong. And here's the why this became a legend. Here's the new segment which I called "What Did They Find?" or rather, "What They Did Not Find." The crew found the ship completely abandoned. However, with its cargo and most personal belongings still in place. There was no sign of damage or distress either. I must say here, note here, at some point they did think that there was damage done to the ship because there were some marks or whatever. Right? But that later was disputed, so I kind of backtracked in history here and I just say there was no sign of damage or distress, right? Guess that late, they gave years after where they found this out, but yeah. The ship's logbook provides us with a second location of interest. Again, Geo fans, rise up. Its last entry dated just 10 days prior to it being found. And the coordinates were 38 degrees and 1 minute north and 17 degrees 0 minutes west, which in more understandable terms is 670 kilometers west of Lisbon, Portugal. So it's roughly around the same spot where they got found,
right.
But it's not the same spot. And remember that the trip was from New York to Gibraltar or Genoa, depending on the ship you look for. So it was from west to east. Right. The logbook say that they were closer to Portugal than where they actually were found. They were found more towards the west than they were actually put in the logbook of the 10 days prior to their finding. Right? So they drifted west.
Yes.
Okay. The cargo was largely intact, so there was no chance of poisoning from the denatured alcohol fumes, because that was a theory at some point that maybe they had to evacuate the ship. Most personal belongings, such as books and clothing, were also intact. However, there were some indications that the ship was left in a hurry. For example, the investigating crew found half-eaten meals and a partially knitted sweater just left on the table. And so, what happened after that? De Gratia obviously worried about Mary Celeste, so they towed the ship back to Gibraltar. And an investigation was launched by the British authorities, as the ship was running under the British flag at the time of discovery. At the time, no conclusion was ever established, because, actually due to this, there were disputes of a unanimous decision, and thus, whilst usually one would get some good compensation, you know, some money, for discovering such a vessel and returning it to the right authorities, David Morehouse, the captain of De Gratia, never received almost anything, maybe apart some little compensation because of his hassle. Because what if it was an insurance fraud, huh?
Drag the ship out to sea and then it's like, "Oh, we found this empty ship."
Exactly. I mean, it was known that both captains were friends.
Right.
So they were like, what if this is an insurance fraud?
Right.
And, you know, they basically staged this to get the money. And this is where I'm gonna leave the story for now. And it's a mystery. And we are now, by the way, in court, Henry. We are in court. We have testimonies.
Okay.
We have testimony from De Gratia, retold as I already told everything to you. We have some investigators, and I'm going to be trying to tell you this as in bits. Maybe we can prompt ourselves from it. An investigator whose name I'm not going to tell because it doesn't matter to the story tells that he has found blood on the ship and some marks in the wood that might be man-made. Not something that would be just, you know, I don't know, Mary Celeste hitting itself with a oar or some shit. And this investigator says there's been some tomfoolery. There's been pirates. What do you think happened with the rest of the crew?
In the case that pirates came.
Yes.
They were all kidnapped.
Okay. I mean, okay, another prompt. Might have been mutiny.
Mutiny, okay. I mean, I feel like in the case of mutiny, it would be weird for everybody to then leave the ship. In exactly. Mutiny, it would make sense to throw the Mr. Cappy overboard, but not like... Maybe, okay, here's a... They were doing like something with the chain, right? Like, I don't know what, like they were just pulling something with the chain and then they were like, fuck this Cappy, yeah. So they kicked him off. But like, he was holding onto the chain and then like, whoa! And then everybody fell off at the same time.
Everybody abroad, like dominoes, but like inverse.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I know exactly what happened. Why there's blood and then things. Imagine you're standing there with a sword, right?
Right.
Or like a sailor's type of thing, and like a pike, right, or something.
Right.
You're standing near the starboard or whatever, near the side of the ship, mm-hmm. And it's windy. It's weather. So captain stays there, and he's like with his spyglass, like holy shit, looking at the distance. Suddenly, the wind blows and it turns the mast. Right? Just start, like, spinning the mast, and he's like, ding, boink, over the board. Right? Captain's gone.
Like a fucking cartoon
shit. And people are just like, wait, what the fuck? Where's Captain? We haven't seen him. You know, it's a crew of 8 people, so 7 left. It's like, what happened? Well, I don't know. Like, look at, I don't know. And then, and because it was a pretty good boink, they're like, oh my god, there's some blood spill here. And there's also some marks because the guy maybe tried to, with a pike, like, catch himself overboard, but didn't, and he's kind of scraped on the railings. So they just stand there, like, you know, hands on the sides, like, what the fuck happened? Wind blows again! Boink! 2 overboard! That's 3 gone! The other people were like, what did those two? Ah, Johnny's probably slacking off again. I told him to, like, you know, mop the floors and look at it. Probably sleeping somewhere in the brig. So they're like, fucking hell. They start looking for him, trying to like wake him up, whatever. And they're like, oh my god, there's blood. Look at this. What the fuck is this? And they all stand there like around in a circle like, huh? And then wind hits him again! And like, boing! And out of the ship.
Truly, an all-time classic.
Real. Real. Or.
Yeah.
Same story. But the captain is actually near the ship's wheel. And you know how those wheels are big. And you've seen in the movies how it's hard to turn them, like, just, you know, normally. And in wind, especially, like, because it's basically, you're fighting against the current. If you too put much pressure on, then it's gonna break the mechanism inside. It's like a whole shebang, right? So, the wind moves the sail. And the wheel turns, and it's such a force that it just launches Captain overboard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yo! And then the guys are like, oh no, Captain! We're gonna save him! And then they jump overboard, and then the captain actually swims pretty well, because the captain has been seafaring for life. And he's swimming back, and he's like, guys, did you leave somebody on the ship? And the guys are like, Captain, you're alive! Guys. Is there someone on the ship? Captain, we're so happy that you're alive, that you didn't drown. You fucking Muppets. Where's the ship? Yeah, about that.
Yeah, about that, indeed.
Well, court case dismissed. Could not have been mutiny, because later on, forensics find out it wasn't blood at all, what the investigator found.
Grape juice.
Something like that. And then the marks found on the ship that could have been man-made is actually just weariness of the ship, a bit of wind knocking some barrels around. It's not man-made. It could have been anything.
Wait, to be honest, marks on a ship, that can't be that strange either. Just
yeah,
from
exactly.
A ship that's just in
exactly.
use.
But another thing that they found and never mentioned before, and I don't honestly, don't quote this on this chronologically, there was, because if you go onto Wikipedia, Mary Celeste has two huge paragraphs about the court case they went through, right? To get through this. Don't quote this chronologically, I'm not doing the bit for it, I'm just trying to remember the prompts.
Okay.
They notice lifeboats missing.
This doesn't make sense chronologically.
They notice lifeboats missing because, and this is another investigator for the sake of our comedy, because the first investigator did all this just to prove that there's been foul play because, well, I mean, what's his name again? Captain Benjamin Briggs and Captain Morehouse are friends, so there's some insurance fraud. They like, you know, some bit of chopping wood somewhere in the middle, some blood, of course, blah, blah, and then mysteriously all of them are gone. But he gets defeated by forensics and actual scientific methods, so he goes back to whatever hole he crawled out of. But lifeboat's missing, Henry!
Right.
What happened?
So, this is what I think that happened, yeah? You said they were delivering alcohol, right?
Yeah.
So, what happened is, the alcohol, just being there, started evaporating. And everyone on the ship, you know, they were just doing their work. But before they noticed, they were all, like, getting drunk, essentially. So they were all under the influence, stumbling everywhere, right? Someone was drinking a cup of grape juice, but they spilled a little bit of it on the floor.
Somebody was carrying an axe, and they chopped a bit of railing on the floor.
It was just moments of confusion. And then they all came together, right, stumbling about, and they were like, holy fuck, where are we right now? Is this even the ship? And then they see the lifeboat and say, that's the ship. Those are ships. We should take those. We should leave right now. Those are the real ships. And then they take the lifeboats out to sea.
Oh,
and leave the ship to be.
Okay. That's a good story. But if this is the direction we're going for, I actually know exactly what happened.
Okay.
I mean, Italians back then were known as, you know, the people. It's to vibe with Italians, it's to vibe with life itself. And they're delivering alcohol. They're already in the inner circles, right? They're hanging out with the Pope on a Sunday. They with those Italian girls on the beach on a Saturday.
Sure.
And then playing cards on a Friday evening with the lads. And, you know, it's they've done this route before. I mean, ask about why they keep returning to this specific route. I mean, you always do the same job, but it must be some good shit on the end to keep doing it. And so they're like, you know, we're gonna, the Italians, Giacomo, waiting us on Friday, we can start pre-partying right now, right? So, you know, they pop up, and they're like, okay, we don't drink this alcohol, we can just inhale the fumes and get high of it. So they pop up a barrel, and they're just like, oh, yeah, we're all the vibing on the ship, it's party, toots, toots, toots. And then they were like, you know what? Yeah, as you say, they're dizzy, they're drunk. They think, holy shit, the ship. Like, wow, we're basically in Italy. I mean, yo, Giorgio's is open, which is the local club where they delivered alcohol. Pop on the boat, let's go to Giorgio's! They all take lifeboat, they swim, they sail across. Well, you know where they exactly were. So they keep sailing, they keep swimming, they keep oaring. The alcohol wears out, and they're like, well, fucking shit, we're in Portugal. And they were so disappointed. That it wasn't Italians, but they were Portuguese. They fucking shot themselves right there and there. And the Portuguese...
Not where I thought you were taking this.
And the Portuguese were like, this is kind of embarrassing. So you're just not going to tell anyone that this happened. But, Henry, unfortunately, both of us are wrong. Because somebody later found that same lifeboat that was missing, actually drifting not that far away from the ship, and it was deducted... That it could have been because of the ship was drifting for 10 days in the sea. It could have just fallen off because of the wind, of not being attached properly. It wasn't, like, man-delayed or something like that.
Could have
just fallen off the ship.
Yeah, could have been a coincidence. In a way.
Exactly. No, evidence suggests that actually crew took the lifeboat.
No foul play.
Well, exactly. Well, what about... Here's the third option. Our last option that I'm going to prompt you with. What about unnatural phenomena?
Unnatural phenomena?
Because when they found Mary Celeste... No, natural. Like, you know, a weather thing.
Oh, okay.
Because when they found Mary Celeste, yes, it was in a pretty good shape for a ship, but it was a bit rough around the edges, you know? in a sense of like unkept, sail half high, that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay, I have an idea.
Yeah.
So they were at sea, right? And then the winds really started picking up, right? Like it really started picking up, right? So you're like this, yeah. Okay? For listeners, I'm sorry, this is going to be a little bit visual. But basically, imagine you have a boat, right? It starts rocking, like, back and forth.
Okay.
And then it just keeps increasing because the wind. And then at some point, it's just doing full 360s.
Oh, my God.
And because the wind is so strong, it, like, doesn't stay upside down. It just keeps going. And because of the centrifugal force, the crew is just thrown off the ship.
Because they hold on for this long for it to get to that velocity, when it just get launched off the ship.
Yeah, and the lifeboat, of course, also couldn't handle that, so it also got, like, tossed off at the same time.
Yeah. No, okay, I like that. Okay. But I know exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that I said this three times, because I prompted myself three times to say this.
This is episode. Really your catchphrase episode, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens is, and this is for those who know the game called Sea of Thieves. It's not related to that at all. It's just a different, like the same concept as in the game. Wind picks up, the ship starts really going. They're like, whoo! The speeds we're hitting, yoo-hoo! But at some point, the captain is like, wait. Goddamn. We're gonna arrive in Genoa way earlier than we're supposed to. What if those punctual Italian pricks decide to deduct from our money? We have to arrive. It's like a bus. You have to arrive on the dock, not before, not after, because they're expecting the delivery on that day. So, he's like, what am I about to do? And he had a second mate, right? He was still learning to be a captain, and was a bit green around the gills, you know what I mean? You know, he thinks he knows the basics of how to work the ship, but he does not intricacies. For example, he was like, the wind picks up, why not just stop the ship? You know, just drop the anchor. But the ship was going at such high speeds towards Portugal, towards east. It goes to high speeds. This dumbass drops the anchor. It does 180 at such a centrifugal force. It launches everybody off the ship. Everybody's like, yo! Flies out. And then the ship, because of itself, it breaks the chain and launches itself in the completely opposite direction towards back west. And that's why the other ship, De Gratia, finds it 10 days later in a direction that is west of the direction they were supposed to go.
I'd like to imagine that this happens, everybody's in the water, and then you just have the whole crew standing there with, well, swimming more like, but like, with their hands on their hips in the water, like, come on, was this really necessary? Is this really what had to happen?
And it launched them so fast. Somebody was in the middle of their meal, and they were just like, yo! Somebody was knitting, right? Like, both hands on the needles, and it was just such a centrifugal force that it's like, you know how, like, in the cartoons, the sweater stays in the same place, but the guy's like, shoo! or, what actually happened, and here's the theory that I'm going to prompt in myself without anything else, everything was still intact, right? So what happened is they were like, yo, guys, let's remember the chat. Let's remember some good hide and seek. So they were like, let's make the... I know that my good friend, Morehouse, is about to be on the same route. Let's, you know, let's make the ship drift. He's going to notice, he's going to come on board. And then let's him go find us, you know, like hide and seek, Marco Polo style. And then they go to the barrel compartment and the alcohol. And they kind of fall asleep because they forgot. Because 10 days, you know, it's a lot to do. And they fall asleep. And then Morehouse with his crew comes on. And it's like loads of fucking barrels, right? And they go on like, oh my god, they're lost. Like, what the fuck happened? Like, huh? But these guys are asleep behind the barrels. And the crew never checked around the barrels because there's so many barrels. And they're kind of like, oh no! They're lost! Let's throw the ship back. And then a whole court case, you know, starts happening. And these guys wake up, and they're like, shit, this is going to be a big lawsuit if we now just say this was for shits and giggles. So they basically buy fake wigs, and they go onto the courthouse, they go onto the podium, ask the judges to get themselves out as a crew of the testimony by having no testimony. In a sense of, you know, there's a dispute of what happened,
right.
But whatever can happen is a lawsuit on the crew. So their goal, as saboteurs, is to to be, arrive at no decision. So there for years, dressed as the court, is like, yeah, the crew was gone. I don't know what happened. And then somebody's like, yo, we found this evidence that the crew might actually have been on the ship. No, that could have been, that random shoe could have been blown to the end of the brig by wind. Like, we know, yeah, that's like logical. And Morehouse at some point, when testifying, is like, I know this voice. Have I seen you somewhere? And Briggs is like, no, 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 you don't know me.
I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Sure.
I think, you know, one of the funniest images this story leaves me with is the idea of like, hey, let's play hide and seek. And the guy in the middle of his meal is like, fuck yeah, this can't wait until I finish eating. Let's do it right now.
Okay. Any last stories you want to prompt us with, Henry?
Well, maybe they were just, you know, sitting there, you know, having a good time. It's the evening time. And the sweater the guy was making was so fucking bad that they were so embarrassed to even be on the ship with him. And they just threw him overboard and jumped after him. And it was like, we cannot be seen arriving in Italy with this piece of trash, frankly.
Yeah, yeah, because Morehouse walked on the ship and the first thing he said, who the fuck needed this piece of trash?
Fucking trash-ass sweater.
Okay. So, and so, did they find out? Is my name of the conclusion. No conclusive evidence of foul play has ever been found. The lifeboat was actually, as I already said, found to be drifting nearby in a perfect state, leaving this even more mysterious. Some seem to lean towards wild natural phenomena, but again, the ship was a bit around the edges, but all in all, in a good shape, so even that is hard to believe. So till this day even, no conclusions have been put forward. That is what ChatGPT said. However, ChatGPT has 2 years or 3 years of lost knowledge because that's, well, it, I think the last database that it can access is of 2020, I think. So I was like, you know, I'm going to check my facts. And to this day, unfortunately, still no conclusion. However, there are some stories that are quite interesting, right? Some of which we already touched upon. General,
mm-hmm.
One of which I didn't prompt because I feel like it's so weird to prompt on it anyways. I'm going to read a extract of a website. Mary Celeste theory number 3. A bad pump. This theory may have the most going for it. When comparing Solly Flood's notes, which is the investigator that did the blood thingy, whatever,
right,
on the case, the original logbook, blah, 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 blah. To oceanography data, researchers found that the Mary Celeste was 120 miles west of where Briggs had thought he was, possibly due to a faulty chronometer. So he had clearly become disoriented. The day before the ship was abandoned, it also changed course, perhaps seeking some relief from rough seas. But bad weather and busted chronometers would not have caused an experienced captain like Briggs to abandon ship. There had to be something else. This is where the pumps come in. On its previous voyage, the Mary Celeste had carried coal in her cargo, and had also recently been extensively repaired and renovated. The result may have well been a pump that had become clogged with coal and sawdust. This would also explain why one of the ship's two pumps was found disassembled. Without the pump and with the cargo hold packed Tetris-style with barrels of industrial-strength alcohol, Briggs wouldn't have been able to tell how much seawater had leaked into the hull. We know from the 3.5 feet of water observed by the boarding crew that there had been some flooding. They had been working pump to use. But Briggs would have been unsure of its extent. At this point, Briggs had been battling storms, was disoriented, and wasn't able to determine if his ship was going to stay afloat. With Santa Maria in sight on the date of the last entry in the logbook, which is a place, Briggs may have ordered the ship abandoned while he still had the chance to reach the land with the lifeboat, but nobody knows what happened to the crew in that case. This story has a lot of flaws in it, and a lot of this information became available years later after the original courthouse thingies, because there were a lot of prompts here, but if we're going to go through all of them, then we would have never been done with the episode.
Yeah.
But this apparently is the one that is the one that has most evidence going forwards for it.
I mean, I feel it makes sense. Like, on a real note, the only reason why you would abandon ship like that is if you feel something's really going wrong, and this, like, could be a reason.
So... But to this day, as I said, no conclusion, and Mary Celeste has transcended legends to become a ghost ship of the ocean, of the Atlantic Ocean to be specific. And then its 8-man crew is still roaming the seas, trying to look for their lost ship.
Well, then they suck, because they haven't found it in over 100 years.
Real. And with that... And with that, Henry?
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Actually...
Wait.
Really, yes? Thank you for listening.
Are we not plugging anything in?
What are we plugging in?
You can find me if you don't want to listen to
Henry's sorry, do you realize that comes after I thank everybody for listening? I don't want you to make me out like an idiot here, okay?
You were dragging this. And I frankly think, honestly, I feel like you were dragging this.
I like it when you put it that way, King. Alright, go ahead then.
You can find me on Instagram at 000RUS000, and you can leave that first one feedback in DMs, please. Or just drop a like on one of my pictures, because I am quite a dashing face.
This guy, in contrary to what you hear on the podcast, is actually pretty likable, so.
This is gay pride.
Not really. Anyway. You want to message the show, just contact us at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com, just the name of the show at gmail.com, or a little Spotify feedback thingy. God knows I don't read him.
Oh my god.
No.
Leave that feedback under the episode if you're listening to us on Spotify.
We do actually look at it, so that was just a joke. Alright, we do look at it, so. Indeed. Thank you for the feedback, or not, quite frankly.
And we'll see you on the ocean.
Oh.